But today, we're going to talk a little bit. If I could name a message again, listen, I know my strengths and I know a lot of my weaknesses. And one of my weaknesses is naming teachings. But the Lord did give me something today. It's always from Him because I'm not good at it. But I was in the car. I like to give you guys resources a lot because we're busy and crazy. But did you know that you can on Safari, like you can find the Bible and there is somebody that will read to you while you're driving? And this man has the most beautiful British accent. And so I'm driving in the rain and I'm trying to look on my phone. Don't tell anybody if anybody's husband is a policeman. Don't follow me. But I was like Psalm 121. And so audiobooks, I was like, just read it to me. And so, the Lord said, like, it's the most beautiful thing. So I listened to it over and over as I was driving here. And then the Lord just gave me the title for today's teaching, and it's holding patterns. Last week, we were talking all about circling. Stephanie, will you hand me my phone right there? I got to read you the definition of holding pattern because, I'm a definition person. And it was Jesus when he gave me this. So I looked up the definition and even confirmed it more. Last week, we're full of faith. We're marching around our Jerichos. We are shouting. We're believing the walls are going to fall down. But you know what? There is something called a holding pattern. There is a time when we're not seeing what we're asking God to do. A holding pattern in the Merriam-Webster dictionary is a state of waiting or suspended activity or progress. Anybody have a child that you are in a holding pattern with? You're just in this state of waiting. This is a suspended activity or progress. You're just not seeing what you've been marching around and believing for, like Stacy said. Like, sometimes it happens just like that, and sometimes we just got to circle it. And again, be full of faith in our circling, our stone of remembrance last week, that God's going to do it. He's going to do it. And His way is going to be the best way. So today, I want us to still have that same faith to believe for Jericho's to fall. But I just want to dig into this concept of what we do during the holding pattern. During the time when we're suspended in activity. What do we do? How are you doing, Mom, in this Jericho marching? Had a mom last week come up to me and the prayer team, and we went to her house yesterday because she just said, I'm tired of it. I'm ready for these walls to fall down, but I need you to come into my fight. And so we went, we prayed around every bedroom in her house. Woo, it was such a powerful time. I love doing that. Stacy said, I'm going to have a holy headache all day. My teaching, when I got home, because I hadn't preached my sermon yet, when I got home, there was like fire coming out of my hands. It was just like, woo! But this mama, she's not necessarily seeing anything coming to fruition, but she is believing it, and she's not giving up. She's in a holding pattern in some of the things she's believing God for. But look, she's knowing where to go. Where do you go, Mom, when you don't see any production of fruit? Where do you go when you have been praying for your husband to lead you spiritually? Where do you run when your teenager is making choices that you just can't understand what they're making? Where do you go when your preschooler is just showing these signs of whatever that you're just like, what? Where do you run? I'm going to give you some statistics that I love to look up. I actually think they're amazing. I go to Barna Research a lot, and this sets the tone of the message. Barna Research found out, this was in 2014, they did a survey on moms. 80% 8%, y'all. 8 of every 10 moms feel overwhelmed by stress. Say it isn't so. And then we wonder why our kids, y'all, do you know what stress is? In medical or biological context, stress is a physical, mental, or emotional factor that causes bodily or mental tension. Stress will initiate this fight or flight response. Mamas, what are you doing when you feel stressed? Are you flying or are you fighting? Listen to these statistics. Pew Research is another great place I go to look up research. This was just in 2019. This just like cut me to the core because of it's just the opposite of what I'm trying to convey to moms. 77% of adults, this is men and women, men and women say that women face pressure to be an involved parent. Pressure. 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 Pressure is to force or try to force a constraining influence. Mom, is that the way you feel to be an involved parent? Because let me tell you something, that is the opposite of what God has intended for you. We are to not be pressured to be involved in our children's lives. It is to be our pleasure. Oh, y'all. It is to be our pleasure to be an involved parent. Pressure? Pressure. 2019, more statistics. This gave me a little bit of hope. This is the powerful influence of moms in Christian homes. Now, this is just in Christian homes. Christian teens primarily seek out mothers' opinions on questions of faith. 71%. Praise the Lord. 71%. Barna data through the years, it identifies mothers to be the ones who provide spiritual guidance and instruction and instill values. It showed that moms are the foremost partners in prayer, 63%. Conversations about God, it's about 70%. And mothers, 79% of mothers are encouraging church attendance or teaching kids the Bible. But now that's in Christian homes. But still, 77% say women face pressure to be an involved mom. Pressure. These statistics remind me that I believe one of the main problems is that mamas, they are flying. They're fleeting. They're running away. It's too hard. Or they're fighting with the wrong weapons. See, 2 Corinthians 10:1 says, we use God's mighty weapons to tear down and demolish. Like, mama, that is how we fight. And when we fight from that place, although it may be hard and although you may be tired, it will still be your pleasure because you know God is doing a work through you. Mamas are fighting in the wrong way. They're using the wrong weapons or they're flying. If you were back at our Ascend session, how many were at our Ascend session way back a few years ago? I did this thing about eagles. I did a study on eagles, and every week I would bring a staggering statistic about the eagle. And when I was doing this message, I reminded myself about the eagle. When I saw that fight or fly, this is where We can fly, moms. If you remember the eagle, they're solitary birds. They fly alone most of the time. And let me tell you something. If you are a mama that wants to be involved in your children's spiritual life, you're going to be alone. That's why a group like this is such a life-giving force for so many of you. Because it's lonely. Your friends will look at you like, really? Like, why don't you go out to dinner? Why are you sitting there and working on that with your kid? Like, why don't you just go out with your friends or go out for the weekend? It's lonely. I have moms all the time, particularly of high schoolers, that their kids are trying to make decisions and their moms are, you know, wanting them to make those good decisions. And they're like, Joy, I'm shocked. Some of my friends that I thought would be like, yeah, you do it. They're like, what are you doing? Like, that's a teenager. They're just going to do that. And this mom is saying, no, no. It's lonely. Eagles are lonely. Eagles are lonely, mom. But that's okay. Because, see, they fly at the highest altitudes. The other birds will not go. The eagle, he flies at altitudes that are of the highest of any bird. And listen, when the storms are approaching, and they will approach, you know what the eagle does? While all the other birds are seeking shelter, they're running to find some shelter. The eagle looks at the storm and he catches a hot wind, which is called a thermal. And what does he do? He goes right above it. And mama, that is how we fly. We fight with God's weapons, and yes, there are going to be storms, but God does not want you flying in the middle of the storm. God has given you the ability to fly above it. Above it. There is a storm. There will be a storm. If you're not in a storm now with your kids or in your life, I am a full of faith preacher, but I will tell you, there will be storm. Jesus said it. In this world, you will have, not you might, but you will have many troubles. But then what? But have courage. I have overcome the world. And what do we have in us that's housed in us? The Spirit of God. We can overcome it. We've just got to get our perspective right. We've got to go to the right places to find our weapons. Based on this research, y'all, so many moms are not fighting with the right weapons. And they're not flying above. They're flying in it. Moms are too overwhelmed. They're too tired. They're too dissatisfied. They're too overcommitted. They are just in turn dried up. There's a lot of mamas that are dried up. 70% of mamas are tired. And y'all, listen, I know we're going to get tired. If you have little babies, newborns, you're nursing, I know you're tired. Kids that won't sleep, I get it. I know we're tired. But y'all, where do we go when we're tired? We do not have to look like other moms. We should be examples of what a mom how a mom drinks and how a mom lives in the midst of being tired. That's what God wants us to do. We need to be moms who sit and soak in the presence of God so that we, when we face these times of being tired and stressed out and dissatisfied and overcommitted, we know where we go. There's a trigger in us that says, oh, I'm feeling it. So where am I going to go? And that's what we're talking about today. I feel tired. Where do I go? I feel stressed. Where do I go? I say this to my 6th and 7th graders when I sub them. We were talking about the Beatitudes a couple weeks ago in Bible. And I said, when you're really worried or fearful, I said, it's probably not a good idea for you to go and turn on Pretty Little Liars. Because they were all talking about that show. I'm like, first off, let Miss Joy ask you, what is pretty about a liar? So mom, if you're tired, if you're stressed, it's probably not a good idea for you to go and get around people that will just feed that. We talked about that last week. If you're tired, if you're stressed, you need to be listening to that beautiful British guy, Psalm 121. I'm sure they have a girl too. You need to put on worship music. That's how we fight. Is we get in the presence of God. Jeremiah 2:13. Again, I believe this to be a rhema word, a right now word, even though it was written way long ago about the Israelites. I believe this is rhema for us today. Look at what it says. For my people have done two evil things. They have abandoned me, the fountain of living water. And they have dug for themselves cracked cisterns that can hold no water. Y'all, that exemplifies. Do you know a mom? Is that you? You've forgotten where to go. You've forgotten where to go, and you've been trying to fix it with things that just don't fix it. Look at Isaiah 58:11. By the way, a cistern is like a well or a pit. Look at Isaiah 58:11. This is where we go. The Lord will guide you continually. And Jesus, when I was reading this, God said, I need you to tell the moms, like each one of you, the Lord will guide you continually. The Lord will guide you. I can be a helper. Your church podcast, we can help supplement your walk, but mom, the Lord will guide you. I might say something and you go, oh, I don't really, that doesn't resonate with my spirit. And that's totally fine because I'm not your guide. I am not your guide. Jesus and his word is your guide. The Lord will guide you continually. Moms with swords will come alongside of you and help you. Absolutely. But the Lord will guide you, mom. The Lord will guide you. Because nobody else satisfies your soul in a drought. Nobody else can strengthen your bones so that you shall be like a watered garden and like a spring of waters whose waters do not fail. Mom, that verse is for you today. If you are tired, if you've been running to the wrong places, God will guide you and he'll satisfy you in those newborn stages and those teen stages and those little years. God will, he will satisfy you and he'll strengthen you to do the job he's given you to do. And then to all those mamas that are stressed out and tired, you're going to be like a spring of water to them. And they're going to go, how do you do it? How do you do it? Some of the greatest words any mama could ever ask you. I tell you the story about a football practice when John William was little. You know, you have football practice like three nights a week. And when they're little, you have to stay. And again, I had to, you know, it's 2 hours. So I would go and spread out my moms with sword stuff. And I'm like very antisocial at football. I'm sorry. I'm kind of an antisocial person anyway. So I kind of just stay to myself. And the coach would come and laugh. He's like, you working on your teaching, mama? Yeah, I am working on my teaching. But one night I'd go, most people would kind of, you know, come. I'd kind of try to be nice and be like Jesus and interact. But I'm kind of just that way. I mean, sorry, I love y'all, but I'm just kind of that way. But one night I had this mom, just, I saw her coming. I was like, oh God, she's coming to talk to me. She's going to come talk to me. And I'm, doesn't she see what I'm doing? I got my Bible. She comes, sits her chair right down beside me and says, okay, this whole God thing, I don't believe it. Convince me. Okay. See, the greatest question, and you know what, that lady sits right behind me at church every Sunday now. Y'all, let them ask. Woo, that's a word. The Lord is just all over me on that word. Let them ask. You drink. You be that well-watered, living water just coming out of you. And you let them ask. Come ask me. Come ask me. How do you do it? How are you okay? Let them ask. Let them ask. Oh, let them ask. How I believe the statistics would be so different if we would sit and let him satisfy us and we would drink from the living water. How would statistics change? Praise God for moms with sores, because I believe we can change statistics on mamas. I believe it. I believe that's why God kept us going for 7 years and is not done yet. Because I believe he needs you, he needs me, he needs you to show some mamas how to fight and how to fly. Go with me to Ezekiel 37, one of my favorite stories in Scripture. We're going to talk about some dry bones and just the point of how these bones come alive. Ezekiel 37, we'll start just reading 10 verses. The Lord took hold of me, and I was carried away by the Spirit of the Lord to a valley filled with bones. He led me all around among the bones that covered the valley floor. They were scattered everywhere across the ground and were completely dried out. Then he asked me, I love, this is God, and he's asking a human, like, what? He asked me, because God's always asking, he wants us, he needs us. Son of man, can these bones become living people again? Oh, sovereign Lord, I replied, you alone know the answer to that. Then he said to me, another favorite thing in this scripture to me, he said to me, Ezekiel, he's saying to you, mom, speak. There's power in this right here, power, life and death, it says in the Bible. Speak a prophetic message to these bones and say, dry bones, listen to the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. Look, I'm going to put breath into you and make you live again. I will put flesh and muscles on you and cover you with skin. I will put breath into you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So I spoke this message just as he told me. Suddenly as I spoke, there was a rattling noise all across the valley. And the bones of each body came together and attached themselves as complete skeletons. Then as I watched, muscles and flesh formed over the bones. Then skin formed to cover their bodies, but they still had no breath in them. Then he said to me, use it, speak a prophetic message to the wind, son of man. Speak a prophetic message and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, O breath from the four winds. Breathe into these dead bodies so that they may live again. So I spoke the messages he commanded me, and breath came into their bodies. They all came to life and stood up on their feet, a great army. Did you catch that? They functioned. They functioned once they came together. They functioned. See, they could go do PTA. They could go be the class mom and be on that team and be that team mom. They functioned. They did a great, great job. But when does it say that they came to life, that they lived? Was when the breath of God was breathed into them. This dry bones here, this dry bones in the Hebrew, it means bleached by long exposure to the atmosphere. Does that show us what these statistics are telling us? That there are mamas that are so tired because they've been in this atmosphere. They've been not exposing themselves to the atmosphere of heaven. So therefore, they are tired. They're able to function. Oh yes, they're able. I will show up and do my job and do my job here and do my job there. They can function, but there is no life behind what they're doing. One of my most favorite, if you've ever been around me, you know this is my most favorite book. My mentor gave it to me, and I have told every mama about it. It is called Secrets of the Secret Place. It's one of the most powerful books. I read it over and over. It's small. You can read it as devotion. But there is a chapter on the secret of radiation therapy, and I just want to read this to you. When we step into the presence of God, we are exposing ourselves to eternally powerful forces. Everything within us changes when we touch the radiating glory that emits from His face. For the Lord God is a sun, Psalm 84 says. The sun provides heat, light, energy, and ultraviolet rays or radiation. When we place ourselves in the sun of His countenance, the radiation of His glory does violence to those cancerous iniquities that we often feel helpless to fully overcome. Time in His presence is perhaps the most potent procedure to deal with the chronic sin issues that plague us. You don't know when you're being exposed to radiation when it first happens. People who get sunburnt don't realize they've been exposed to excessive radiation until after the damage is done. The effects of radiation are always delayed. The same is true of God's glory. When you spend time in His presence, your first thought is, this isn't accomplishing anything. However, if you will believe the truth and just devote yourself to mega amounts of time in His presence, the effects of spending time with Him will eventually manifest. Expose yourself to the atmosphere of heaven when you're tired and when you're not tired. And listen, it can be driving in your van or in your car, listening to somebody quote scripture to you. You are exposing yourself to the presence of God. Now listen, this breath, this word, this Hebrew word here is ruach. In the Greek, we will see it. It's in the New Testament. It's pneuma. And it means the breath or the wind of the Spirit. Remember, these bones did not live until the very breath of God entered. They functioned. You can volunteer, Mom. You can do a lot of great things. But you really don't live until the ruach of God, the pneuma, enters in. The first we see of this ruach is in Genesis 2:7. The Lord formed man, and what did He do? He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And then the man became a living being. Are you tired this morning? Get in the presence of God. You facing a Jericho, you're marching around it, you're so tired, you're trying to tell yourself not to focus on how big it is. But listen, you gotta go get him. You gotta bring him in. You gotta bring him in, and it's not hard. I know you're busy. I know you're tired. It's not hard. While you're washing dishes, put on some amazing worship music. If you need some help, I'll help you. I got plenty. We've got a Spotify playlist on this session called Purposed. You can get it. It doesn't require a lot, but I can assure you, you start doing it a little, and a little will not do you. You start becoming like Moses was when he walked down the mountain. Do you remember? They were like, wow. He had to put a veil because the glory of the Lord. Oh, could we be that to our kids, y'all? Could they not see us all the time? Oh, I got to drive you here. I got to pick up these toys again. I got to wipe your butt again. You're sick again. I got to take you. Y'all, it's not pressure to be involved. It should be our pleasure. Chick-fil-A did not come up with that. As much as I love Chick-fil-A, Jesus did. Let it be your pleasure. Oh, I get to wipe your butt again. I get to get up in the middle of the night. I get to let you snuggle with me when I really just want to sleep. I get to get you ready to go to college. I get to be a part. You want me to be a part of this Nerf war that you're in with your senior? Like, you'll let me go out there and tell you where everybody's hidden? Like, I get to. I get to. You want me to take y'all to Big Air again? But then if I get all y'all in my car, I can Black Hawk you and hear what's going on. It's not pressure. Mom, it's not pressure to be involved. It's pleasure. It's pleasure. But we cannot do it without the breath of God. Where are we going? Where are we going? Proverbs 18:10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. This is where the righteous man runs into it and is safe. That tower in the Hebrew is segab, and it means defend, set on high, exalt, be safe. Mom, you are safe. You are set up in his presence. Look at some of these names of God. All of these names of God talk about God as our refuge, our shield, our fortress, our strong tower. Another amazing supplement is this Praying the Names of God by Ann Spangler. I actually had my little kids, because I was telling Ashley, she was cutting my hair the other day, like, moms think that we can't give our kids these big things because they're too little. Y'all, John William and Sophie Kate and Sydney, when they were, I mean, John William was probably 3. I had them one summer. I just picked some of these, the ones I loved the most. And I had them create like Migdal Oz, like God, our strong tower. John William, what do you think that looks like? Like, your kids can handle the big concepts. Give them a chance to handle them. This summer, and here you go, maybe this is an idea for some of you mamas. Get this book and just pick out some of the names of God that have been true to you, that have been a stone of remembrance for you, and pull them out and go through them with your kids. Great resource. Great resource. But this talks all about God as our refuge. God is our shield. God is our fortress. This is where we run. This is where we go. This is where we go. Psalm 23, we all know that. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. The verse that we all know really well is, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Mom, you're going to walk through shadows. You're going to walk through places that are hard. But how we walk through is so important. We have got to remember that if there is a shadow, there is light. Because a shadow cannot happen unless there is light. And listen, God is bigger than the shadow of cancer. God is bigger than the shadow of miscarriage. I've had 2. I know he's bigger. God is bigger. There's a mama here that has walked through the valley of the shadow of losing her own child. He's bigger. He's bigger than a strong-willed child. He is your strong tower. He wants to be your first line of defense. Stop circling the shadow and caressing the shadow and the Jerichos and making them bigger and bigger. And instead of making an altar of remembrance of how good God is, you're making an altar of the shadow. You are not to focus on the shadow, though I walk through the valley. Some of you have camped a tent. You've got the little stove sleeping bag, the cot. You've just camped out there. Let me tell you something. God doesn't want you to camp out there. He wants you. He needs you. There's another mom on the other side that is walking through it that needs you to tell her, oh, God is so good. And let me tell you what he did for me in that situation. God's bigger, mom. He's bigger. Stop circling the shadow. Stop memorializing the shadow. God is bigger than the shadow. He wants you to allow him the privilege to be your refuge, to be your shield in the midst of the shadow, to be your fortress and your strong tower. Allow him that. He wants to be that. But he's a gentleman. He's not going to make himself be that for you. Just like Ezekiel, speak. He's telling you, you got some skin in this game. You got to do something. Psalm 103 and Psalm 104. This is what you have to do, like David. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And in one version, it says in parentheses, I tell myself. And so when I wrote this teaching back in 2014, I've never forgotten that. Sometimes you've just got to tell your soul to bless the Lord. When I was watching my mom die and then watching my dad die, when I had my two miscarriages, I remember one was in between Sophie Kate and John William, and I always say I would never have had John William had I not had that. So I can tell you, God is in the shadow, and he's bigger than the shadow. But in those times, I had to bless the Lord. I had to tell myself, sometimes you just got to be your own cheerleader. You're in a hard marriage. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, I tell myself. And then David in Psalm 43:5. I love David. If you can relate to anybody in the Bible, it's David. Because he's so much like us. Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? Yes, we've got to acknowledge this sucks right now. I don't want to go through this. But then in the very next breath, I will put my hope in God. You guys got to command your soul to bless the Lord sometimes. Don't stay in your pity party. And if you get in a pity party, you better call me. Because let me tell you something, that's something I'm good at. I will get you out of your pity party. Because my name is Joy and everything's happy and I don't like for people to be sad. But you can do it to yourself. Tell yourself, remember what God has done. Don't you let the enemy keep you paralyzed in the midst of shadows. Yes, I'm discouraged. Yes, this stinks. Yes, I don't want to face this, but I will bless the Lord. I will. Do you know what the devil does when you determine and resolve? Man, he is scared. That's what we did yesterday at that mama's house. We were calling out things that have not even happened yet. And we were just loving that the devil was so mad. He is mad when we bless the Lord, when we command our soul. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. The three major places. Where do you fight most of your battles? Right here. That mind, in its original language, in the Greek, it's imagination. We had a lady come several sessions ago, and I loved it. We prayed a prayer that God would, a healing prayer over our imaginations. Because let me tell you something, they will go wild and go crazy. We've got to tell our mind, tell our soul, tell our heart, I'm going to bless God in this. And then finally, Psalm 121, and this is where I just want to end, because this is what my little man was saying over and over today. Psalm 121. Mom, please put your name in that where that says I. Please put your name there. I, Joy, look up to the mountains. Does my help come from there? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let Joy stumble. The one who watches over Joy will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel never slumbers or sleeps. The Lord himself watches over you, Joy. The Lord stands beside you, Joy, as your protective shade. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon at night. The Lord keeps you, Joy, from all harm and watches over you as you come and go, both now and forevermore. Just a couple words I just got to pull out. This, I look up to the mountains for where does my help? That word help includes surround, protect, aid. Like, anybody need to be surrounded? Anybody heard that song? It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. That's what he does. He surrounds us. He protects us. And then that word, keeper. I love this word. I look at what this means. This is what God is to you. He's your hedge, your guard. He protects and attends. Look at that, y'all. Bodyguard. Will we just let him be that? Will we just let him be that? How many of you today would say you're just dry? You got to have the ruach of God. You need God to breathe into maybe a shadow that you're still holding on to or that you're in the middle of right now. Maybe we can just today, as the prayer team goes, they're going to be in the back of the room this week. They're going to go back in the back. Maybe you're just saying, you know what? Like this mama last week was just like, I'm ready. I'm done. Maybe you're just like, I'm ready for God to be my help. I need him to surround me. I need him to be my bodyguard. I need him to fight this battle for me. Because I've been using the wrong weapons and I've been flying in the middle of it. So I want everybody to stand and I'm just going to pray over us. And then we're just going to give a little bit of time. We're just going to play a song and let you, if you need prayer, if that's you today, if you are full of faith from last week and ready to take on your Jericho, praise God. But there may be a sister that is tired and weary and just tired of everything that's going on and needs God to breathe the ruach of God. So if there's a sister around you that you know of, maybe you can just pray for your sister. Just pray quietly, but let me pray. And if you need somebody to pray with you, they'll be back there. And then after you pray, you can go to your small group. And then we'll see you in 2 weeks. But let's just let the Lord do a work. Listen, that's not your breakfast. That's not the donut. If you're there's just something in you that you're starting to get sweaty or starting to get hot, that's probably the Spirit of God saying, go, go. Invite them into your fight. Please let us fight with you. You do not fight alone. God is fighting with you, yes, but tangibly he gives you sisters around you that will fight with you. Let him fight your battles and let some people in. So let me pray over you. Jesus, bodyguard, armies of heaven are at your command, and yet we hang on to stuff. You spoke and the world was, and yet we worry over things. God, today I just pray. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, as this stone of remembrance for this week, I pray that this word would be true over every mama in this room, that God, they would allow you the privilege it is your desire to be as you have been in the past, and you will be their refuge. May they know you to be. May they remember that you are and you want to be their refuge. God, be that for these moms. Be that for me. Jesus, may we remember you in our fights. May we remember you in our shadows. May we remember you in our Jerichos. And may we run to you, the Lord, our strong tower, in the name of Jesus, who is our refuge and strength and our very present help in times of trouble. Amen and amen.